Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Jackie Asua Kramer and Maral Sassouni, author and illustrator of The Green Umbrella. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 323 of the podcast with Jackie Asua Kramer and Maral Sassouni. The Green Umbrella is a story about journeys and a story about the different meaning and importance objects can take from one life to the next. It's Jackie's debut as a picture book author and Maral's as a picture book illustrator, so in a way, it's fair to say that this conversation is about a journey of sorts as well. I hope you enjoy. Here's episode number 323 of the podcast with Jackie Kramer and Maral Sassouni. Welcome to the podcast, Jackie and Maral. I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited you brought the green umbrella with you.
I'm excited. Is it raining out?
It is over here.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, why don't we do a little voice recognition? Jackie, do you want to say hi and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Okay. So I'm Jackie Asua Kramer, and I'm the author of The Green Umbrella, and
Maral, it's your turn.
I'm Maral Sassouni, and I'm the illustrator of The Green Umbrella.
And we have had this scheduled for maybe the longest I have ever scheduled an interview. Jackie, did we agree to talk like the moment you signed contract on this book?
I think so. So we've been pals then for a good 3 years then.
Thank you, social media. You gotta love it.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on, at this point when this releases, congratulations on the book being out. And thank you both, and thank you North South for sharing it with me. I really love it, and it's been one that we've returned to a lot over bedtime, and one that my wife, as we were reading it tonight, was just like, oh, you're talking to them tonight? Let me know how it goes. And that this is, when a book affects a family in that way, it's really a special thing.
Well, you can always bring them on in, and we'd love to hear what they have to say.
Jackie, especially you know Julia. That. Jackie, it is bedtime. You know this.
Right. Oh, my gosh. And I was a good bedtime person. I was like, you know, I mean, they need a little structure or else we will suffer the next day.
No doubt about that. Well, so The Green Umbrella, it's such an exciting thing. I mean, I'm honored that you're here because this is a debut for both of you. So congratulations on making your debut. I'm sure, I'm positive this is something that you have anticipated for a very, very long time.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. The journey of a book, can average 1 to 2 years, but I think the end result is worth it. I think, I'm thrilled with Maral's artwork. Maral, I think I've shared that with Maral.
Jackie, before we go any further, would you mind sharing with the... Hey, wait, you were a professional book talker. I can totally ask you this using the language I was going to use. Jackie, could you please book talk the Green Umbrella to all of us?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, hey, guys, the Green Umbrella. The Green Umbrella is this fantastical story about... a character who is just taking a walk in the rain, and then he meets all these other characters who claim that their umbrella, his umbrella, is theirs. Not only does he claim that it's theirs, but that it's not really an umbrella. So go figure, how do these people work this out when they want the umbrella and it's not the umbrella that they see, but something else? You'll have to check it out and read what happens.
Whoa, bravo, girl. Way to be on the spot. That was amazing. Yeah, it's not an umbrella. It's a tent. It's a boat. It's all these different things to different people. And yet, steadfast, it's the elephant's umbrella. Wonderful. Maral, your illustrations are gorgeous. I always love when when the illustrator takes us visually on a journey through the pages, that we look at something different, that our eyes have something different to focus on. And you, I feel like, carried us through this beautiful color palette as we went through. And that was something that I felt like took us, it just, in so many ways, was the clouds parting and the light shining through for each of the other characters saying, oh, no, this is what that was to me. It wasn't an umbrella. It was a boat. And here... the light shone down to show that, and time and again that happened, and I just thought how effective, how beautiful that was that you executed it that way.
Yeah, I gave it a lot of thought. Definitely, I wanted to take the story over the course of a day, so the color palette reflects that, and ends up at dusk, sunset, and starts in morning, goes to late afternoon, and ends up when the sun's already down and they're flying off.
Well, it's, I don't want to, I never want to spoil the end of a story, but, Jackie, I feel like the way that your story here hits on, to me, what feels like a universal folktale quality, this notion of this item that feels so personal and so much part perhaps of a character's identity, this umbrella is so much the part of the elephant's identity, can at the same time be part of another's story, another's identity. I love in that way, too, the way that it's sort of this meta story for how stories are for all of us, and yet they're very uniquely for each of us.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why if somebody were to ask me in a word what the story is about, I would say it's journeys, individual journeys. And I mean, when you think about these characters, right? I mean, you've got the old rabbit and you've got the... Oh, excuse me. Was that me?
No, that was me. Sorry.
And you've got this you know, the cat and the bear, and they each, you know, have different points of view, and they also come from different walks of life. I mean, that I don't know if anybody noticed or you noticed, Matthew, but, you know, I see them like, you know, the hedgehog is the sailor and the cat, the botanist.
Yeah.
And the bear is like an inventor, and the old rabbit is the archaeologist, and somehow, through imagination and understanding, and ultimately friendship, they're able to move forward together to new journeys. So, you know, yeah.
Okay, so now I need to ask, because I have the very unique advantage of having you both on the line. But Jackie, when you wrote this story, when you first wrote this story and sent it out on submission, how much of that was communicated in the manuscript? How much, I mean, I'm a writer, I'm aware of leaving space for the illustrator, and yet being able to sort of nod toward a direction that you're perhaps envisioning. What did that manuscript look like for you?
Literally?
I mean, I don't know. Are you one that is like big fan of illustration notes? Are you one that is a completely bare of illustration notes kind of person?
Good, very good question. No, I'm not. I actually, you know, Maral and I Skyped just to prep for this, just to get our techno stuff together.
Ooh.
Because, yeah. And one of the things that I shared with her is that process is probably the most fun, sometimes scary and exciting part for me as a writer, is handing it off to my agent and then going out on submission and then, you know, who are they going to, you know, who's going to be the illustrator? And I don't mess with that process because I respect the fact that no, the illustrator wasn't hanging over my shoulder and saying to me, no, don't use that word. Don't do that. And so I'm not really a fan of illustrator notes. That being said,
me either.
And I respect that, right? I respect that. You know, and I said to Maral is that I want to see more layers developed that like reveal like an onion, you know, from the story that that I've written. But quickly, that being said, I have a book coming that will be coming out subsequently with Candlewick Press. That one was one giant illustrator notes. And I actually took a chance with that, but it was the only way, because the saying is, or the understanding is that you only use illustrator notes when the text doesn't convey what you want, you know, what's easily, right? So that particular story, I didn't even call it art notes. I called it visual interpretations. So I didn't offend anybody.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes you have to, but that was a special case. That book is only 220 words. So, but
I've had that too. I mean, I think that you're right. It goes both ways. There are times when you are trying to not accomplish a trick, but the illustrations are meant to deceive the text. And sometimes the only way to communicate that is by saying, hey, just so you know, Maral, this is going to go on. You draw it however you want, but this sort of tricky thing is going on. Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Well, Maral, though, you're a person that then was able to, it appears, take this idea that Jackie had and really see it in the words and interpret it your own way as well. But to have it come back, I mean, Jackie, to have it come back and to see those occupations the way that you do in the sailor, the archaeologist, that, I mean, you can see that there, but it's never mentioned in the text. I feel like that there is where it's so cool to see the pitchfork tune ring out and hear that you're both on the same frequency.
I know. I mean, when you think about it, that image of, in particular, which Maral, did you share that the image of the bear has been chosen for this society?
Oh, yeah. No, it was selected for the Society of Illustrators of Los Angeles exhibit and annual that they're having now.
Congratulations.
Yes, it's awesome.
So when people look at the book, when people pick up the book, we're looking at the spread with the bear saying, I flew through windy skies in my flying machine. That one, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
I love that. Oh, the way that you've got that bear's nose just pointing up at the sky, eyes closed, carefree, really in the moment there. That's a beautiful thing. Well done. I like that.
Thank you.
And what I love about it too, and this, I didn't write that, but there's, if you notice on the little flying machine, there's this little musical looking gizmo hanging off the back, you know, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's wonderful to think that while he's flying up there and pedaling, he's hearing like, you know, some music, you know, who would expect that?
Yeah, I cobbled his flying machine out of an umbrella, like a trumpet, some springs, a little bit of tape, you know, whatever was in his workshop, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know that I've had friends who've said to me, you know, I think that if you put a design together for that thing could actually work. Yeah,
it's got a propeller.
Well, now we'll see legions of children in STEM classes attempting
these feats. There you go.
Well, Moral, let me ask for you what that experience was then, receiving this manuscript and ultimately accepting the job to do it. I guess as a writer, I just want to ask you, like, what is that like? There are, I assume, publishers, there are people there, there are agencies that know your art. How do you get paired with a manuscript? And did they look at your portfolio and select you, or did you have to submit samples? What did that beginning stage look like for you?
I won the SCBWI Portfolio Showcase Award in 2013, and Beth Terrell from North South was there. And she came rushing up to me and she says, "We got to work together. Here, have my card." And that's where it started, really. And part of that prize was to send me to New York to meet up with art directors. And so I timed that to the winter conference, SCBWI. And I met with a lot of art directors and a lot of publishing houses then. But I also, met again with North South, and they had the contract ready, and over lunch they handed me this manuscript called The Green Umbrella.
Wow.
I didn't even know
over
that.
Over lunch? Okay. This is amazing.
Yes. Read this. What do you think? Yeah.
Ah.
So, yeah. And so I took it with me and started to, the wheels started to turn slowly. And I got my pencil out and I, drew an umbrella or two, and things like built. That's how it is with me. It's like they build kind of slowly, and little elements come together, and they then make a bigger picture, which turns into a bear flying across the sky with a propeller, a trumpet, and a thing,
Well, I'm glad that the story worked out that way, that not only did SCBWI recognize your illustrator prowess and your skill and recognize through the work you were sharing in your portfolio, but to have the art directors interested in your art and all seeing what you're doing, and to have a publisher wanting to champion your work as much as North South did, it sounds like that's quite a way to make an introduction into the children's literature world.
Well, I'm no overnight success, but like at the last, as soon as I got the SCBWI portfolio, it all happened really fast after that.
Yeah.
But, I've been illustrating for like over 25 years though.
Oh, wow.
For like magazines, ad agencies, design firms, grown-ups really. But yeah.
Well, thank goodness. I feel like there are a lot of people that take the same path that you were on. A lot of people that illustrate in magazines, in editorial work like that, and then find that their work also lends itself, or perhaps they've always wanted to create stories directly for children.
Yeah, it's great to tell stories with pictures, but it's a bit of a learning curve coming from magazine illustration, I found.
So go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, for magazines, you usually have to confine yourself to just one picture and put everything into that one picture.
Yes.
So, whereas, with a book, you spread it out across 12, and the unit is like the entire book, all 12 plus a cover and papers, title page, which work together like, a Rubik's Cube of pictures.
Well, I love, Moral, that your art it feels to me textured and layered. I feel like you accomplish this sort of, the word is not a grittiness, but rather maybe there's a tangible quality to your art. And it's something that makes it really wonderful to be in that world and to see, as you called out about the day passing and the colors changing that way.
Yeah.
But to experience that and even see the way then the light changes on these different characters and on the setting is really beautiful.
Thank you. For the tangible quality, it's like lots of little pieces of paper glued together.
It is.
It is actually tangible. So, yeah.
Yeah, because that's true. I mean, it's like collage work, correct?
It is. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, but you know what? I just want to add to a couple little things that I just, were so surprising. But I love, the cat. She just, she's rocking those red boots. And I mean, and one other very interesting, I mean, I just, because I imagine the elephant as, for some reason, as male. And I just love on that page when elephant is describing how he uses the umbrella, that morale, not only is he fighting pirates, but he's wearing a tutu when he's a circus acrobat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very progressive, very liberal, very cool. I mean, he has a really nice understanding of self,
And I
and
like that idea of like the quality of gender fluidity in that sense too.
not gender specific. And I think
Yeah.
it's kind of a cool message to bring out for today, especially.
Boy, you mentioned that spread with the cat, that green, that to me, that's my page that was singing.
Oh,
Because
thank you.
that green, I got sucked. I don't even know what it was. I got sucked in so hard to that page, and I just love that. That was the one that I could not turn the page. I had to investigate every little detail, and I just loved the mushrooms, and I loved the lantern over there. There were things that I could I spy about that page, above all the other ones. Yeah. Oh, I love just the hues of green that you accomplished there. So pretty.
Thank you. Thank you. I like that one too a lot. A whole lot. I like
Yeah.
forest settings in general. Yeah.
Ay. What a wonderful thing to be in. I'm glad the two of you came together. I'm glad that that the story too, Jackie, the way you've tempered your elephant there is never that while there are these threats to this beloved object that he has, this comfort object, if you will, this umbrella, it's never the elephant never gets to a place of rage or anger or dismissiveness. It's just it I feel like there's always that openness to hearing what other people have to say, even at the peak of the story when elephant goes on his way and all the other characters are sort of going, "No, don't." There's still a feeling of not like I'm taking this away from you and you can't ever have it back. It's mine, nanny nanny boo boo.
I don't know how other authors work or whatever, but I think when there is a large part of myself in the story, so I think that aspect that you're talking about with the elephant and the understanding is, I traveled a lot when I was little. I was one of those kids where, my father would just wake us up in the morning and we're going to India, and and
Whoa.
we're going to Japan, and all the while I wanted to go to like Disney World, but we were going to these, and he always told us on our trips when we went, he said, now remember, because there was four of us, four kids, mom and dad. And he would say, remember, you guys are, the American ambassadors, you're little ambassadors, for our country. So when you go in, go in there, just, open-minded and curious and, just with understanding, that, we were invited to dinner quickly to a home in India. We just made good friends with the cab driver who was taking us around. And he said, I'm going to make you an American dish, spaghetti and sauce. And when we got there, we were so excited because we wanted to eat some American food. And they used ketchup. Ketchup was the sauce. And it was, and I, I mean, for someone, especially comes from New York, a real, eating town, and grew up, and kind of my family was kind of a foodies. We were like, oh, and yet, there were the four of us, and just, they presented, they were doing such a wonderful, kind thing, and wanting to make a meal for us that made us feel like, you know, they're proud to say, here, we understand your culture. Mm. So why, you know, so why shouldn't I understand theirs? So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit of what was in that story.
Well, I'm glad that that tone carried through. I wonder, you said you've got another book coming out after this with Candlewick. Is what's that story about?
Oh, okay. So that's The Boy and the 800-Pound Gorilla. And it's a story about loss. It's a story about, but good, but not, you know, we're not. And it's basically a boy who loses his mom. And for well-intentioned as he is, the father, he is loving and, again, well-intentioned, but he's unable to, handle the questions, the tough questions, and the emotions and the feelings that his son is having, because he's not sure how much he could say and what he can say, and probably because he's, you know, his own emotions are also tied up in that. And so that there comes in the title, the metaphoric 800-pound gorilla comes in to sort of answer those things for the boy and save the day.
How lovely. I love this voice you have in writing for children. I love, even just from those two books, what you're trying to say and what ways that'll resonate with the kids. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Meral, are you working on anything else beyond this?
Well,
that you can say?
Things are out. There's a few nibbles, but nothing certain yet.
No, but you're still drawing and sharing online, and I see beautiful stuff.
Sure. Plus, there's like a lot of book events coming up, which is like taking my attention. Yeah.
Well, to both of you, I'm so glad. One, that that you came together, that this book exists because of the both of you, because it's a beautiful book, and it wouldn't be what it is if either one of you weren't involved in it. But I hope you both enjoy the ride. I think that it's a special thing, and I know there are people listening that are writing that haven't published yet, or maybe even haven't sold a book yet, but to know that here you are on that place in your journey where you're both about to have this experience of having a book published for the first time, and have it be celebrated across the interweb.
Yes.
How fun.
Yeah, it's exciting. Oh, my gosh. I'm sure, Meral, you're experiencing the same thing. I mean, you know, people that you completely don't know through social media who are celebrating and cheering for you, I have to say that is really comforting, because, you know, as creators, you know, we can be sort of sensitive souls. And, you know, it's like sending the baby out, right? And nobody wants their baby to be called ugly, right? You don't want to be the one that, you know, don't call my baby ugly. So, yeah. So it's super exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait. It's like the countdown is on now. Eh?
Yeah, it is. It's really happening.
It totally is happening.
Love it.
Speaking of which, I'm going to be at ALA. Are you going to be at ALA? But I mean, I'm going to the midwinter, so I'm just curious. Is Matt, are you going to be there? Or
Wait, you're going to be at ALA, but ALA is not the midwinter. New York will be when does
ALA? Yeah. I'm going to be there in January in Atlanta. The ALA Midwinter Conference.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm hearing you wrong. I'm still thinking about SCBWI. My brain is like totally messed up. I will not be at ALA, but you will be there. So by the time this posts, we'll know all about who won book awards and who was wherever and all of that. Yeah.
Wow. How exciting.
Yeah. It's always an exciting time to see everyone come together, to see who the different committees select to receive those medals, but also just to see children's literature celebrated. So how exciting that you'll get to be in that place with all of those people that love books and all of us watching online being excited. I always loved, like, that's the one thing we'll bring up a live stream for in my school, that I'm so excited we'll be running that in our library to show
Yeah, it's my
Children.
first. It's my first, so I'm excited and nervous.
Oh, it'll be a wonderful thing. You'll love it. It's your first time to
Yeah.
be at a library conference?
Yeah,
Oh boy,
my
we need to make
first.
sure everyone comes and seeks you out. Oh, us librarians, we're a lovely bunch. And ALA is a great conference for seeing not only school librarians but public librarians as well. Just everyone gathering in one place to celebrate books. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I wish I was going to.
Well, they
Next
are
time, next
many in
time.
the future. I always think whenever one passes, I'm always like, oh, why can't I go to that one? I want to go to there. But it's a big life ahead for both of you. I think it'll be an exciting time. And more importantly, I'm excited to hear about when you're able to start getting in front of children with this book. And at school visits, at festivals, at all of those things. I think that'll be a really neat thing to see the way that this book reflects on their faces.
Yeah, I know Maral has events coming up, and I have plenty of events, and I'm actually very excited because this is not the norm, but I'm doing my launch party, the so-called launch party at my hometown library, and I just feel they've been very good to me and my family, and when I was an independent author, they took me in and had me. They did an author visit, and it was just fantastic. So, and it's really nice that to give back to your library. As a matter of fact, 20% of the sales of the book will go to Friends of the Library, which is really cool.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
yeah,
Well,
yeah.
thinking about our readers, thinking about them, I want to end first by saying thank you, of course, but also by giving you each a chance to have the last word with your readers. Is that okay? Do you want to,
Sure.
is it okay that we go? I want to never leave. I always want to never say goodbye,
No.
but I know that you'll be online and we'll be able to follow your adventures further. So, Jackie, I'll ask you first. I'll see a library full of children tomorrow morning. What message can I bring to them from you?
Oh, goodness. The inner child in me has a lot of messages I'd like to share, but and they're directly and indirectly related to reading. So, the ones that are indirectly related to reading is that I want to tell kids, and they probably hear this a lot, but I think it's so important that they get out there outside and play. And be outside with their friends and have a good time and really explore and be curious. And because, technology is such a strong pull these days. So, just get out there and play and be with your friends. And that's kind of important, I think. And the other thing is that I want to say, and this is directly related to reading, is that I really hope that in the stories that you read, that it allows you to expand your worldview and have a better understanding of people and cultures, and that at the very same time, you can also see yourself in the stories, discover a little bit more about yourself, and know that you're not alone when you find those characters that are so impactful, and that you go, wow, he's wow, she's like, I had those feelings. Yeah, I just experienced that. And I think that's what I'd like to share with them. I don't know if that's enough, but
I think that's wonderful. Thank you, Jackie. Maral, I'll ask you the same question. I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning. What message can I bring to them from you?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to them because the kids I have in my life are such a source of inspiration. I totally steal all their best lines and all their great moves, and I put them into my characters. So thanks, kids. And I also want to say, I was the kind of kid that wanted to read the entire library. I started from A and I was going to end up at Z. I know not all kids are like that. Some kids I know aren't like that, but I say just keep reading until you find the book that's going to be like full of your friends, the characters that are going to like accompany you through life, the ones that you're going to want to reread. Like for me, it's Charlotte's Web, and recently my nephew read it for the first time, and I said to him, "Oh, where's Papa going with that axe?" And he was like, "You read that too? Oh my God!" And so, Fern Arable is with me ever since my childhood, and now, he's with my 8-year-old nephew, and these characters, everyone has like somebody they're going to find and love in a book. So keep reading.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with books that they'll love. And the Best Book Ever This Week podcast, hosted by me, with book reviews about all sorts of amazing books. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referred to. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment at allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing this podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Raina Telgemeier joins me to share ghosts. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's KOKO Sleep, and I'll see you there.